In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you guys can sit there. As the acolytes are getting situated, this is, I guess, a good lesson for them, too. But when you're in school, school started up again, a way to do really badly in a course is to take part one of the course in the spring and part two in the fall. Because over the summer you forget everything. And it's even worse if you had the same professor for part one and part two, and he starts out the first semester by giving you a review exam on everything from part one. That's a first-hand experience of mine that I'm glad only happened once. But it's important to stay current on things and to review things. We are forgetful beings, we humans. We need constant reminding, and we need constant reminding to do the right thing. And so we come back around this year to the parable of the sower, which if you are a new churchgoer, it's fascinating to listen to. It's one of the clearest examples of teaching in the Bible because nothing has to be interpreted. Jesus interprets it for us. If you are a regular churchgoer, the parable of the sower can be one of those occasions to kind of say, okay, I've heard that before. Well, we've heard it before, but we need to hear it again. We know about the seeds, and they end up being devoured by birds, or they're on hard soil, or they have no roots, or they are good seeds. Let's think about the seeds devoured by the birds for just a minute. Jesus says that's Satan taking away the word of God from us. And that's true. That's true. Satan does not like people hearing the word of God, does not want people applying the word of God to their life, does not want people living godly lives. This is a fact. And Satan is real, and he is at battle with us all the time to tempt us. And the closer you are to God, the more godly you try to live, the more you submit yourself to God, the more the word of God is within you, the more he will try to snatch up those seeds. The shallow soil is a bit interesting to me, and I think I want to tie it into the latter part of the sermon, because what exactly is shallow soil? How does that work? And I think it has to do with the cultivation of our heart. I'll talk about that later. What about the thorns, the cares of this life? Well, there's a lot of them. And they're distractions, and we know they are. And as soon as we leave here today, as soon as we walk out of the church and go to our cars, the distractions of life resume. Responsibilities, entertainment, everything else that goes on around us. And somehow we make the mistake of giving those things an equal or even higher priority than our salvation. And we're all guilty of it. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to put God first when there are so many cares of this life. And especially when we live in such a city of affluence where all of us have fresh water anytime we need it, we have cars that work, we have food when we want it, and then a million other distractions, whether it's 1,000 different options on television or anything else. And then even worse, these cares of this life, sometimes we deliberately poison ourselves with media that is no good for us. So, not to pick any altar boys, but what would it be like to walk out of the altar and then go and watch something raunchy or listen to something vulgar? It'd be like that's just like those thorns choking out the word of God. Then there's the good soil. And here's what Jesus says specifically about the good soil. These are the people who hold the word of God fast in an honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. That's the soil where the seeds begin to grow. And I think it's worth us re-examining exactly what it means to have an honest and a good heart. We need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with God. We need to stop kidding ourselves about how wonderful we might be or how good everything is, and be more honest and say, every one of us here today is deficient in some way and needs God. That brings us in a position to really be able to hear His Word. Because if I don't need God, His Word really doesn't matter to me anyway. And what about that good heart? It's a heart that seeks righteousness. It's a heart that tries to do the right thing. And it's a heart where, when you don't do the right thing, it immediately stings. There's no delayed reaction. You say, oh my God, why did I do that? And we cultivate that honest and good heart by examining ourselves. And then there's a life of prayer. If one wants a heart that can receive the Word of God, one has to pray. And I've never met anybody guilty of praying too much. We need to be thirsty for prayer, desirous of it, wish we had more time. If any of us finds ourselves stagnated in our journey as Christians, if any of us finds ourselves being too much like the seeds that are on the shallow soil, or the seeds that are being entangled by the cares of this life, it's probably because we don't pray enough, and we need to pray more. It will change us. Prayer changes our hearts and changes our lives. And then if we want that good heart, that heart that can receive the Word of God, then we need to listen a little bit to what St. Paul writes to Titus this morning. Because he tells us how to live with other people, especially church people. He says, avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, that's because they would argue about their Hebrew lineage, dissensions, quarrels over the law, for they are unprofitable and futile. And think about in life, at the workplace, at school, at home, stupid controversies, dissensions, quarrels, they are unprofitable and futile. And they do nothing to cultivate that good and honest heart that we need to have. And St. Paul continues, he says, as for a man who is factious, after admonishing him once or twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is perverted and sinful. He is self-condemned. And factiousness takes many forms. Obviously, St. Paul's talking about factiousness in the church. But it can take just the form of gossip. I shared a story with some of my brother priests a couple of weeks ago. I was in the Navy one time. We were sitting around a table. And another officer sat down and he said, okay, who are we gossiping about today? And he was making fun of the people sitting at that table already. That's factiousness too. And so we shouldn't be those factious people. When we see people engaging in that behavior, we ask them to square away, and after we've admonished them once or twice, we should avoid them. All of these ways of life go to cultivating the kind of heart that can retain the Word of God, where the Word of God can take root. Nothing can undo a prayerful heart more than not being honest with ourselves and with God, or abandoning prayer. And certainly nothing can undo a prayerful heart more than participating in stupid controversies and quarrels and divisive behavior. It makes it very difficult for God's Word to take root. But we come here every year and we hear this sermon and we have the answer. We know the answer. Talking about school again, it's like having the textbook with the answers in the back of the book. So we know how the problem needs to be worked out. It's very straightforward. And just in case if we have any problems, you know that textbook with the answers in the back, that's so that you can figure out the problem on your own. Just in case we have any trouble understanding what Jesus' parable means, he explains it for us in great detail, and the church makes sure that we hear it annually as well we should. A sower went out to sow his seed, says this morning's gospel. The word of God is speaking to us always. But especially here, right now, as we gather as the body of Christ. For the word of God to take root, all of us as a group, all of us individually, must have an honest and good heart. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.